Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Every morning, Darren Armstrong talks Big Brother, looking at the stuff from yesterday. All the drama, all the strategy and silliness from Theo to HOH. Every single season, you know he is the reason. You know what's happening. Rob said that he could do it. Tomorrow he will do it again.
Hello, everyone, and good morning. Welcome to our live feed update for September 9th. I'm your host, Aaron Armstrong, and with me today is Chantel. How are you doing, Chantel?
I'm doing pretty well. I mean, this hasn't been the most uplifting week, we'll say, but I'm super happy to be here talking about all of it with you.
Yes, we are here to update you on everything that happened yesterday on the Big Brother 22 live feeds. It was day 35 in the house, and it was actually not too crazy, finally.
It's true. It wasn't too bad. I mean, I was kind of being able to see a little bit more gameplay and maybe just discussions that weren't so, you know, driven, we'll say. And so, yeah, I definitely didn't find it to be as charged of a day, but it definitely still had some elements of fire, we'll say.
Some elements of fire. So we started the day. Danny and Nicole were talking. Danny was talking about how, like, now that she's squashed things with Tyler, she doesn't know who to target. Like, who do I go after? I've been wanting to go after Tyler, but now what happens? Now who do I go after?
I know, and I think that's what's been happening this whole season, is that they've kind of already had their targets pretty much lined up from a couple weeks before. She kind of was toying around with Ian a little bit, and I was like, what? Not Ian yet? Like, so I'm not actually sure where she ends up landing, but I know that they're trying to find a new narrative and a new person to point the finger towards.
Nicole says probably Kevin, right? I mean, Kevin's the option. But she says, you know, Cody would be so pissed if we went after Tyler.
Yes, Cody would be pissed if they went after Tyler. I mean, I don't think that Tyler's in the clear after this week. He's definitely been putting in a bit of work with Christmas. Christmas is kind of public enemy number one still, even though they're pretending to kind of be all good with her. And so I wouldn't be surprised if Tyler was a casualty, but I don't think that Nicole would pull that trigger.
Mm, yeah. Day talks to Danny and kind of changes her mind a little bit, I think, on the Tyler situation, because she lets Danny know that when she talked to Tyler about Tyler wanting to quit, he said that Danny was trying to come after them, that he was not lying about Danny, but that he said he would say he was lying about Danny. And Danny says that he told me that he said he was lying. And this is apparently not what he said. That pisses me off.
Well, I think this is going to be a big problem for Tyler, actually, because Danny did have a conversation later on in the day with Nicole talking about the fact that, you know, Tyler was still saying these things about her. So she is actually thinking of maybe targeting Tyler. So he needs to fix that quick.
Yes, she's not pleased with that. David talks to Enzo. Their relationship has been developing this week because they both want Bailey to stay. David is telling him that, all right, Enzo, I know what's going on in this house. You ready for this? Ian, Nicole, Danny, Cody, Alliance. I saw them all together in a room this morning, and they came out slowly, like one by one, like they thought they were being sneaky. I know what they were doing. They were laughing. They were laughing about the game. They were planning out their day, because this is what they do. This is what they do. Every day they get together in the morning and they plan out all the strategic moves that they're going to make that day. And they slowly come out of the room. I figured it out.
Well, he's not completely wrong, but I think
he's only like 95% wrong.
Right. But I think that because of the fact that, you know, people were telling him that he had such a good read on his previous season, that he thinks that anything that he says is golden. And, you know, I guess it's pretty much the four prime alliance. It's just not running the things. And he has three out of the four members that are actually, I think, making the most moves in the house. So he's not completely off, but I think that he needs to have a little more perspective.
Yeah. Enzo's like, oh, wow. You're so right. You know what, though? I bet Christmas in Memphis are attached to that as well. Lots of people in that aren't me, for sure, yo. They talk some more about keeping Bailey, but this is David's new theory, and he really believes that Enzo is not part of the core, and that Enzo is somebody that he really feels like he is opening Enzo's eyes to the real power structure in the house, and that he's going to get Enzo on board with him now, that they're going to band together and fight the power.
It's like week five. I mean, I think David's the only person that's not really in some sort of an alliance, whether it's a fake alliance or a real alliance or running things. Like, it has to, Enzo has to be protected somehow. And I think Enzo is probably the most protected in the house right now. So it's very funny that David thinks that he's a free agent.
Yeah. We also got David going to Bailey and telling her about his alliance theory. He calls them the Four Horsemen. He says, I caught the Four Horsemen meeting this morning. And she's like, oh, really? He's like, you know what I'm talking about? She's like, no, actually, no. It's Ian, Cody, Nicole, Danny. Tells her the whole story, and she's like, I believe it. I like, yeah, those four. Like, for as much as like all of David's allies make fun of him and don't want to actually work with him, for some reason they believe him when he's wrong about his reads.
I think that they want to feel as though he's a better player than he actually is. And so I think they're giving him more so the benefit of the doubt here. It's like, at least he's doing a little bit of strategizing. At least he's thinking about some things that's shifted from the previous 4 weeks when they're having conversations with him. So I think that they're just kind of excited that maybe he's bringing a new perspective into the game. Whether they fully actually believe him, I don't know. But at least they're kind of giving him some hope that maybe what he's saying is true.
So he tells Bailey, look, we've got to try and start campaigning to keep you here. The thing that you need to do, you need to talk to Tyler, because he tried to talk to Tyler earlier and he was like, hey, what do you feel? How do you feel about keeping Bailey around? And Tyler was like, I don't think it'll work. You know, you can talk to people if you want, but I don't think it'll, especially like coming from me, it's not like I'm going to be able to campaign very effectively for her. So he was like, you need to talk to Tyler. You tell him you love him. Tell him you love him. Tell him you love him. She's like, you need to stop saying that. He's like, okay. So I'm so sorry. Jeez. I'm just saying he's very good at manipulating. So you need to feed him that stuff. Tell him you love him. You know, like, that's what I'm saying.
yeah, obviously David hasn't seen what has gone on in their previous season to know that this could be, you know, a situation that she would not want to do. I just really wish that Tyler gave Bailey and Davon a little bit of a heads up that the veto was not going to be used and he was going to be staying in the house, because I think that that would have maybe allowed Bailey to have a little bit more trust in him. And then maybe they could have mend, you know, their relationship enough for him to want to keep her. But she's just so mad at him right now. And Danny is not doing him any favors right now with him, with Bailey or Davon, that I just don't think that she's going to be able to save her game with him. And so I think he would be the biggest piece if she wanted to stay. And if he's not on board, I don't think that that's going to happen at all.
Yeah. So David goes to Davon next to tell her about his four horsemen theory. And again, like David is stating it so matter. Like, I know, I see things. I know what's that. This is why I'm here. Do not doubt me. My mind, you know, people go like, oh, his mind, her mind. David says, my mind.
So I've seen little rumblings of him having, you know, a super high IQ. Is that a truth, or I just didn't know what happened there? I'm being serious. I want the truth here.
So he claimed to have an IQ of 187.
That's so high.
Too high, Shonda.
I have a friend whose father had an IQ about 180, and he was the most eccentric, super genius I've ever seen in my entire life. And you knew that he had a high IQ. It doesn't have the same really as David does right now. I mean, he might be very smart, but I don't know if it's 187 or whatever IQ.
Yeah. It's his truth. Yeah, it's just the chat.
Maybe that's what's allowing him to believe his theories right now, because he believes that he's also that smart.
Here's what it is. It's personal IQ information is what it is.
Right.
Yes. So David tells Day, he says, there's something I want to let you know. I have campaigned to Tyler to keep Bailey. It's a test. It's a test. I think you're staying anyway. So I'm campaigning to him to see if he brings it back to the core, four horsemen. And then they'll try and use it to drive a wedge between us. And I'm, you know, skipping the pauses and the everything else. So it's a test to see what he will do. And so we're not going to let it get between us. Right. And she's like, sure.
I just don't understand with this season why there's so many tests. Like, just, you know, just take these away, because it's actually giving false information that's giving false truths. And it's not a reliable method of, like, obtaining information here. I mean, I understand him saying to her, like, hey, if you hear that I'm campaigning for Bailey to stay, I'm not, but I can understand that. But just how he's kind of wording and how he's saying it. And it actually, if it is the test, it's not going to really work. Like, why would he get the information? It's a little bit silly, in my opinion.
It is silly. There's the guy. It's one of those things. It's like, it sounds so clever in a vacuum to like test people with fake information or like throw information over here. It's like, it's literally from Game of Thrones, right? Tyrion has a scene where he tells three different people three different things, and he waits to see which one gets exposed, and then he knows who the rat is. It sounds very clever. In reality, in not a TV show, it does not work. It is not good for you. It doesn't actually, it's not effective in any way. And especially when the person who is doing it, David, has told so many other people that he wants Bailey to stay, He hasn't only told Tyler, he's also told Enzo, Kevin, Bailey herself. A lot of people know he wants Bailey to stay. So if somebody does tell Day or whoever that David wants Bailey to stay, it doesn't necessarily come from Tyler. So the test is invalid in the first place. It's so silly. And I think he thinks it's clever because, oh, I'll test Tyler. And I'm also campaigning for Bailey, and it's an excuse to campaign for Bailey, and I'll excuse it away with Day by saying, this is what I'm doing. It's just a test. It's not real campaigning. But by telling Day that, it's just making Day sketched out. Like, okay, campaign for Bay all you want. Just apologize for it. Don't try to pretend it's some kind of test and that you're trying to play me with this. Get out of here. I don't want to look like an idiot. Day does not want to look like an idiot. That's one of her primary goals in this game. She wants to figure out what's happening. If you act like you're tricking her, it's not going to work. Just say straight up, look, Day, I feel closer to Bay. I'm sorry. I'm trying to campaign for her to stay. I hope you understand. And it's nothing against you. And we can work together when this is all, you know, over this week, if Bailey leaves. And Day would still be like, OK, but she wouldn't be like, OK, you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I think that he just doesn't want to lose any his credit score with Javon here. And I don't think it's actually going to work just because how we know Javon to be someone that's really always kind of has their eyes on everything and trying to want to figure out what's going on. And so he's having a bad read on how to work with Javon here, obviously, and with this whole situation. So he just needs to get out of his mess and keep his mouth shut, I think.
Yeah. So she, the thing that she says though is to just make sure whichever one of us leaves, Bay or Day, we need to link up with Enzo. Enzo is the guy we need to work with. And this is what we were talking about last night with, like, all of the outsiders want to work with Enzo. All of the insiders are already working with Enzo. He's in a fantastic spot right here. So Bay and Day come together to compare some notes. Bay learns about the Tyler situation that Day told Danny about Tyler, saying that Danny lied, but telling them that he was telling the truth about Danny, and all that. They think that Tyler is the liar. They believe Danny. They think that Tyler, they said he's trying to pull some Dan stuff, he's trying to be discount Dan. That was me. I made that up, not them. They said that it was like, this is what you ordered and this is what comes. And I'm saying that they're essentially saying he's discount Dan, which I think is catchier personally.
Definitely catchier with the alliteration there for sure. I wonder why Davon is just so inclined to believe Danny. You know, in the past weeks, people have been lying about their votes and about what they're doing. And she's witnessed all these lies, and she's done some of the lying herself just to, like, you know, mislead Janelle and mislead Kaser, et cetera. And so I'm just wondering why she's just so willing to, you know, join forces with Danny as soon as Danny's, like, now seemingly giving her some information and, like, you know, seeing eye to eye with her. I don't know. I just think it's very, the timing should, you know, set off some red flags here that, like, Danny is probably lying in this situation.
Yeah. I think there are a lot of signs pointing in that direction. But Tyler, look, Tyler's a sketchy dude. So, you know, you have to remember that the reputation that both of these people had coming into the game was Tyler is a mastermind manipulator and Danny is one of the most popular players of all time. Straightforward, found her husband on the show. Like, the reputations mismatch, and people really wanted Day to work with Danny prior to the season starting. You remember early in the season, she was like, I'm trying, guys. I know you want it. So I think that definitely is going to play a factor here. Bay tells Day about David telling her to tell Tyler that she loves him. She's like, That was disgusting. What is wrong with him? I am not telling that man I love him. Like, why? Why would he say that?
I mean, I understand where he's coming from. I mean, I think this house needs a little bit more love, a little bit more empathy, a little bit more kindness, you know, and some kind words towards him would maybe go a long way. So I see where David's coming from. I don't think it's disgusting, but maybe since David doesn't really have all the information, he doesn't really know that it might not be the best approach, but I understand why he's saying that.
I mean, it was weird that he repeated himself, but David is a weird guy. You know what I mean? Like he was, in my opinion, he was being playful. He was like, because when he first said, tell him you love him, she kind of like, you know, made a face like, no. And he's like, come on, you got to do this. Tell him you love him. Tell him you love him. But he's just not good at being playful. And so like, it didn't fully come off that way, but like, it's not that confusing, Bae. Like, I don't know why she's so confused. Like, why would he say that? Like, he's trying to give you advice. That's why it's not that deep.
Exactly. There's nothing, not much more is going on here. He's teasing you, wants you to just like, just go make nice with him. Come on, guys. Like, he's just making it lighter. And so I think that she's really reading into it way too deep.
Yeah. So Danny talks to Nicole. This is the conversation that you alluded to a little bit earlier. She's pissed about the Tyler thing. She says he has until Thursday to tell them that I was not the one that was lying, that he was the one that was lying, or I will be targeting him after the HOH competition. This is like Mom Danny has come out like, Tyler, you have until Thursday afternoon to tell them the lie that I want you to tell them, not the truth, but the lie that I want you to tell them, or you are grounded.
So fast. Yeah. She's definitely threatening a backdoor for Tyler. That's kind of sitting in the back of her mind right now. So I don't think that Tyler is going to come clean with this lie. And so maybe he is going to be her target next week.
Yes. She says that Nicole says that she, you know, but what happened, like, Nicole, I think, as you kind of alluded to as well, is not super on board with the play, even with the Tyler stuff, with whatever, that she's like, but do we even have the votes to make it happen if we do that? Like, are we, you know, like, are you sure this would work? And Danny's like, I don't know. We gotta threaten Cody by saying, if you don't vote Tyler out, then you'll prove that you're not with us. This is seeming sketchier and sketchier the further we go.
Absolutely. And I think Danny was also alluding to down the road that they can threaten Enzo, that they can, you know, to get out Cody. And like, I feel like she has like some down the road ideas of what's going to happen. And she's not really dealing with what's going on right now. Next week, most likely David and Kevin are going to be put up with a potential Tyler backdoor, but they're not going to have the votes to get out Tyler. And so she's going to have Tyler actually coming at her. I think that she's kind of getting more messy than she's been up until this point. And I think even putting these feelers out for later end game stuff, like, I think this is really bad for her game.
So they also talk about Cody and Enzo and how they're really tight and they feel like they might have a final two. Nicole agrees with that they seem to be very, very close. This is the first time I've really seen people start to clock their relationship, which is maybe the first slightly negative sign for Enzo in the game, and certainly not great for Cody either, but I don't think this will matter a whole lot in the short to mid term. This is a very long term problem, and Danny probably isn't going to be around to do anything about it anyway, so it probably will not matter in the end.
That's true. Yeah, Danny's playing super messy. I mean, she and Ian are both banking on winning the next HOH. They're really like, it's going to be an endurance and I'm going to win it. And so I wouldn't be surprised if either of them were the ones to pull that through. But I think that if Danny doesn't, and it kind of goes to say Tyler, actually any of those boys other than Cody, I think that she could be in a little bit of hot water. They might take that shot, yeah, I think she needs to win.
Yeah. And we are expecting, or at least I am expecting, an endurance competition. I would think the wall, they've already done the wires now. A wall just feels like we're due for a wall. They've already, you know, shot their entire shot with the three powers in one night, right? So, the no more twist competitions for Sunday, which means they're going to have to show the HOH competition on Sunday. They already did this weird ball one. So I'm feeling a wall here.
Yeah, I could see a wall coming out. They haven't really had any competitions like that yet this season. I don't think that they changed their schedule, but also just with the type of games that have been played up until now, it hasn't been really good for smaller petite people. And so hopefully, you know, this is change up, that happens some variety in the competitions, that yes, a wall is pretty much due right now.
Yeah. So the question is, does Danny still have it? Does Ian still have it? Because they haven't been winning.
Not at all.
And I do think somebody like Tyler could do well. I think he's actually even more suited to a wall now than he was the first time around, which he could have maybe won the wall the first time he played, because he is, I think, a decent amount skinnier than he was before, but he still retains a decent amount of strength. So I wouldn't be surprised if Tyler does really well. Ian has historically done well on walls, but again, he's now, what, like 7 years older than he was the first time he, or yeah, 8 years older than the first time he played. Might be different. There's Danny too. Danny's a bit older now. Does she still have it in her to do the wall? Day, I think, could do well. She's done decently well in endurance before. I don't think she's done super well at the wall before, but she's done endurance pretty well. There's also, of course, Nicole, who I think would be a big contender, because she's, again, hasn't been super long since her last appearance, and she's done well at walls before. Then even like Kevin, who has a somewhat similar build to Tyler, maybe a little bit less muscle, but like skinny dude, still pretty strong. I think Kevin could do pretty well, although he doesn't hang well. So, I mean, he won the wire one, which was partly hanging, but certain kinds of hanging will screw him up. So I think he's definitely got a shot, but he might also be in a position where he wouldn't do well. But I think Kevin would have a great chance. So a lot of different people who would do very different things could have a good shot here. Even somebody like Cody, I think, could do well here, given what we saw last season with Jackson, where it was a very upper body focused wall. If it's something like that, I could see Cody doing well. I don't think Memphis is.
I don't think he cares.
Enzo, maybe, but I'm not sure. But man, a lot of people here in with a shot with an endurance wall, which I think would be very interesting, because it's been a long time since we've had a lot of different contenders for a wall comp who would do different things if they won. So it could be exciting.
Yeah, it definitely could be exciting. And the fact that I think everybody wants it more, obviously this week has been really heightened. And so I think that, you know, a lot of people feel like, oh my God, if I don't win, I'm going to be out. And so having that kind of, you know, ferocity going into this competition, I think that everybody's going to be in it for the long haul. So maybe we'll get a 14-hour wall competition or something like that. That's on the feed. Oh.
Well, let's not go that far. I think we'll be lucky if we get like 3 hours.
Okay.
but that's what we're hopefully looking forward to. Now we are going to take a quick break for our sponsors, and we'll be right back.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from, with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere, and each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
And we're back. So let's get back to the show. Nicole is going to talk with Christmas, and she tells Christmas, look, you've got to squash this thing. You've got to mend things with Day, because we need to make this, you know, Women's Alliance work. Now, this may surprise you, but Nicole is the only person in this four-person alliance that has not ratted it out yet.
What?
She actually wants to make it work.
I mean, it's not, I don't see it possible, but I mean, they have to stick together at this point. Like, four girls left against, what is it, seven guys? Like, that's a big problem. They need to work together. And, you know, Christmas using this week to take out another girl, even though she's super excited the fact that the first woman has won a head of household. It was just, that was also really frustrating. It's like, you want a girls' alliance, but you're taking out a woman. It's, yeah, I hope they do work together, but I don't really trust any of them.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, and Christmas is like, I don't want to do it. I don't want to mend. I'll think about it. Okay.
Yeah, she, you know, Christmas, what I think I've realized about Christmas is that she doesn't really have any of her own strategy. She likes playing for her team, and so that she doesn't have to take any responsibility for her actions. And so if she goes and mends fences with Devon, she's going to have to admit that there was some sort of wrongdoing on her behalf as a person. And she can't really blame that on her team. And so I think that that's where she's kind of struggling here, because like, she doesn't really like taking any personal ownership on any actions that she's been making in the house. In my opinion.
Yeah. So that's what's going on there. Day is also going to talk to the cameras a little bit late into the night. She says to the cameras, after Bailey leaves, she only trusts Nicole, Kevin, and Enzo. It's like, you are one for three, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, I personally, right now, I have all my eggs in Enzo's basket. Kevin, he hasn't really been a good ally, in my opinion. He may not be targeting her, but I just don't think that he is good to have on her side, because he's just not reliable. And obviously, Nicole, you know what she's been up to. So I personally think that Enzo would be your best bet to kind of latch onto. He's the most likable. He has the most, you know, social capital in the house. And I think that he would protect her up until a point.
Yeah. I mean, genuinely, she should. Like,
you think Kevin?
David! Like, David!
Oh. I forgot about him.
I mean, he's not, like, the most valuable, but, like, if she could work with Kevin and David, they are both decently good at competitions. David has a power. I think she can trust David. I mean, like, yes, he's bad at the game sometimes. He might let information slip, but so is Day. Day lets more information slip than David has in this game. I get that she doesn't like the guy. I get that she doesn't trust him, but he genuinely, I think, has her back to some degree, and would work to protect her if he could. So I really feel like that she should stop feeling like he's because look, she names those three people, and then she says a fourth name. She's like, I'm not sure if I can trust this person, but I want to. And that name is not David, it's Danny.
I was like, don't be Danny. Like, that's the worst out of all of them, to be honest. Oh my God, don't trust Danny at all.
Yeah.
I mean, I definitely think that she should go back. Like, she should be mending some fences here with David. I know that they had some misunderstandings a couple weeks in a row, but he is not necessarily going after her. I think it might be a little bit bad that, you know, he's wants Bailey to stay over Devon. And so her feeling that it must mean to her, you know, that he doesn't really want to stay and work with her. So I think that that is also maybe interfering with her wanting to kind of team up with him. But I definitely think she needs to reevaluate that situation and go with the people that she more likely can trust.
Yeah.
Not Danny.
On the bright side, she is pretty sure that Christmas has a power, which is correct. And she mentions that her plan for next week, if she wins, and I mentioned this on the roundtable, that this is probably going to change every day until Thursday. But her plan right now is to put Christmas and Tyler on the block, maybe flush out Christmas's power and then put a bigger target on the block after she comes down. Now, she doesn't, I think, realize that Christmas's power has nothing to do with initial noms, and so it will be useless. But still, not terrible. I don't know if she'll go through with it, though, because, again, Nicole is going to be pushing not Christmas. Nicole is going to be trying to mend those things because I don't think she wants Christmas to leave yet. So I'm going to guess that Nicole is going to push her in a different direction. In fact, I wouldn't be surprised if Nicole pushed Day onto Ian, like Tyler and Ian, because Nicole is pretty done with Ian. Yeah. I think she would want Tyler out. But I don't know who she could encourage Day to put up next to Tyler. Maybe Memphis. Yeah. Memphis would be another option, to put up next. I forgot about Memphis too. I keep forgetting about Memphis.
Yeah. One thing that actually Nicole was talking about was the fact that she was really mad at Ian for the fact that he didn't think that it was fair or was selfish of somebody wanting to win a second time. And so that kind of rubbed Nicole the wrong way here. And I mean, understandably, it's kind of like, you're a winner too. Like, don't tell this to people. Like, you know, we want to stay in this game. We want to stay together. We want to have the chance of winning. And so that really bothered Nicole a lot. And it's probably one of the reasons why she's starting to target him a little bit more now.
Yeah. She's like, not fair to let a winner win again. Ian, I'm the only other winner in this house besides you. You are specifically talking about me.
Yeah, I don't think he really got that point, but he needs to figure it out. He needs to pretty much sit beside Nicole Franzel in the end if he wants to have a chance at winning that money.
So that was most of the strategy being talked here. Was there any other strategy before we get into the Cody situation, Chantel, that you wanted to bring up?
Strategy. Actually, I'm curious as your thoughts of this. David, Kevin, and Ian were kind of talking a little bit about working together. Was there any semblance of truth there? Was that just kind of, you know?
Yeah. So David and Kevin now, because David did his, you know, four horsemen thing to Kevin as well. They feel like Ian is part of the core, but that they might be able to use him. They might be able to get in his head and maybe make that connection, which is good for Ian that he might be able to stay out of their sights when they're targeting that group. But it's not solid yet. And Ian has not shown a strong capacity for obtaining allies in the past. So there might be something that comes of this, but it's, I think, almost more likely that there's not a lot of follow up and nothing really comes of it.
Well, I mean, I think it would depend on if Ian or David won the head of household, because they were talking about protecting each other. It's like, oh, I got you. Like, if I win, I really want to win this. If I win, I'm not coming for you. So that would be, I'd be interested in seeing an Ian or even a David win. Like, give it to me. I need to see something different than what's been expected so far. So,
yeah. So last thing to talk about here, sad news. Cody's grandfather unfortunately passed away. I believe it was 2 days ago, and he was informed last night that it happened. And he's a big family guy. He's very close to his family. He was very upset. He went into the bedroom to sort of cry to himself. And Tyler came in, talking about losing backgammon, when he noticed that Cody was, looking a little weird. He's like, "Hey, what's up with this guy? Like, what are you doing, man?" And Cody said that, my grandfather died. Tyler was like, oh no. And he took off his mic and he gave him a big hug. And, he's like, "I don't want to make a big deal of it," but, it was a very sweet moment. And Tyler eventually, went around and let people know, for Cody, and, everyone kind of, came in small groups, to comfort him. And Tyler kind of laid there with him for a while before that happened. It's one of these moments where I think it's a reminder, hopefully, to everyone that these people are just humans living in a, studio, and that they go through real things. Just like everyone else. For as sad as it is to see the sort of humanity there is, I think a good reminder of who these people are.
Absolutely. And, it's those moments, I think, that brings the house together. One thing that I've been missing watching this particular season is that camaraderie, that love that people have for each other. They're playing a game, but they're going to be lifelong friends forever. I haven't been feeling that vibe within this house. I think that some situations like this is going to bring these people together, and it's going to give this bond. It's like, okay, we've done something. We've been through something together. And I think the family element of Big Brother is going to start to maybe permeate a little bit.
Mm-hmm. So that really, kind of took up a lot of the night, they were all kind of reeling from this and trying to help Cody in any way that they could. So there wasn't too much, game talk that happened after this. That's mostly the day. They did also, spend a long time playing this weird game that they came up with.
The sloppies.
Yeah.
I mean, they were saying that they had a lot of fun playing it after, but it just seemed like they wanted to find some content for tonight's episode and Thursday night's episode. It's been a lot of not so uplifting things have been going on this week. So I think they were just like, "Nicole, can you please start some sort of game so we can have other content?" And whatever that was happened.
Yeah, it was. I don't even really know how to describe it. It
like
was
a relay race, kind of.
Kind of, yeah. They did had different tasks to do, and were competing. It was obstacle course esque without an obstacle course. And they also did some other stuff, they made
live
up,
on a spoon.
Yeah. And they it's just weird stuff. It's not. Sometimes I enjoy watching them play games. Sometimes I'm this was more of an F for me, but, they liked it.
Yeah, they liked it. I mean, it also is taking their mind off of things. It was lots of tension. So Devon was able to just host and just kind of be herself and in her element, and everybody just had to participate and not be thinking about what had happened the night before.
Mm. All right. Well, Chantel, anything else that you had from yesterday?
What else happened? No, not really. which is crazy. I mean, a lot of things have been going on. I've really been feeling that, there's been a lot of tension in the house, and it's been really frustrating just for me as a viewer and as a Black woman viewer that loves these games, that's been playing these games, just to be watching what's been going on between with Bailey and Devon. And I know it's really hard for some people to understand, but it actually has been emotionally affecting me watching this game. So I'm hoping that, eventually there's going to be some catharsis and some relief. And, at the end of the season, people are going to be able to reflect and look back and maybe learn and grow from it. But it definitely, this whole week so far has been it's been a little bit challenging to watch, to be fair.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, thank you guys so much for joining us today. I will, of course, be back tomorrow morning at 11 a.m. Eastern to update you on everything that happens today on the Big Brother 22 live feeds. There will also be a recap tonight. There's going to be a veto episode of Big Brother 22. I'm thinking about, like, what will they show there? I mean, the Tyler Rocky stuff.
Oh, you think that they're actually going to come through and show that? Because if I'm not mistaken, Grodner actually came into the diary room.
Show Grodner.
No, I know, but like this seriousness of it, and you know, maybe make us understand why Christmas made those decisions or whatnot. I mean, I think it's been a very important for the week. I think the fight has been very important for this particular week. I would hope that they show it, but I was thinking, like, I highly doubt that they're going to show any of it or much of it.
Yeah, I'm very curious to see what we see. What I am looking for myself is the Tyler Christmas conversation that was blocked from the feeds. Like, that is what I would like to see. I don't know. I think they're going to show some of it, at least. I don't think they'd completely erase it because it has such an impact on everything that happens. And it's the main sort of, like, will the veto get used because Tyler wants to leave? But I don't know. We'll see.
I just don't know if it makes Tyler look like in a very good light.
Looking
as someone that wants to quit and quit the game and this and that. And if, like, he's going to use the cause, if they're going to bring that into the conversation of the episode. So I just... They've been editing so much in such a way that's not really telling the story of all the social things that are happening in the house. I wouldn't be surprised if they just kind of cut around it and told some story that doesn't really make sense to what was really going on.
Yeah. I mean, I think if I was guessing, I would guess that they tell this from Tyler's perspective. And we get Tyler's side of things. And maybe they do leave out, maybe they focus on what I think was Tyler's perspective, which was feeling guilty about Bailey. And they probably leave out the sort of side motivation that he has. And they focus on the Bailey stuff, and then they get to the Christmas Tyler conversation. And it's Christmas convincing Tyler that Bailey didn't have his back and she stabbed him in the back last week and stuff like that. And he's like, okay, well then never mind. So maybe something like that. I don't know. But that would be my guess. Tyler's perspective still doesn't make him look great, but maybe doesn't make him look as bad as he could look. Would be my guess.
I also wonder though how there might be portraying Christmas as well in this. Like, I don't feel it was on the episode, but just being threatened by Bailey beforehand and then this fight happening and a lot of, you know, instigating and microaggressions happening. Like, I wonder if they're going to show any of that just to make us people understand what's been going on in the house. I hope so, because I think it's important.
Yeah, I'm a little more skeptical. Yeah, I mean, we'll see that.
This is me being hopeful.
I'm with you.
I've had so much hope for this season. I'm just like, there's just little things I've been grasping onto, and that being one of them. Actually, and one more thing. So I had played a long time ago, or a year ago, an online version of Big Brother, and my theme was Triple Threat.
Oh.
And so we were a final three that came together on day two, and we made it to the end final three. So right now, this is who I'm rooting for. I think that this will be the best thing for me to put my eggs in, because I can't have the ups and downs and roller coasters of supporting anybody else in the house right now.
Fully
so
on
triple
board
threat all the way.
Triple threat. all right. So it should be an interesting episode tonight. There will be a recap afterward. I'll be back tomorrow morning at 11 a.m. Eastern. And then tomorrow I will also have the Stockwatch stream on Twitch, twitch.tv/Taryn Armstrong, if you're interested in checking that out. Thank you guys so much. Chantel, where can people find you?
I can be found online a lot of places, but if you go to @ShanFranFran on Instagram, you can find me everywhere.
All right. Thanks again, guys, for joining us, and I'll see you next time.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah.
Sorry, we were looking for Chumba Casino.
That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.